Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. There were 19 new wildfires detected across the state yesterday. Most of the new blazes are lightning starts in remote areas. 11 of the starts are in the Galena zone, including the 160-acre Dinicktaw Ridge fire, 20 miles southwest of the village of Hughes, where smoke jumpers are working to protect a threatened cabin. Among other fires being fought is a 2,000-acre tundra fire on the North Slope. The Alaska Fire Service reports that there are cabins and native land allotments in the area of the Tasikpak Lake fire, east of the village of Point Hope. A fire threatens a hunting lodge and cabins 40 miles northeast of Talkeetna. The Alaska Division of Forestry reports that ground crews and air tankers were deployed on the 32-acre prairie fire last night. The other new wildfire getting attention is in the Fairbanks area. A helicopter dropped water on the 2-mile lake fire yesterday, halting it at an acre. It's being mopped up today. The family of a Fairbanks man missing since last month say it's uncharacteristic for him to be out of contact. 26-year-old Jerry Atlas' uncle, Peter Captain Jr., says his nephew was depressed and the family is concerned about his safety.
Very unusual behavior for Jerry, not to talk to his closest friends or definitely not reach out to his family and make sure he's okay. Never has happened before, and it just makes us really worried sick.
Captain says Atla did not have a vehicle or a phone and is not likely to have left Fairbanks. He says Atla was last seen Saturday, May 26th at Fred Meyer and Walmart stores and then in the Chena Ridge neighborhood where he lived.
He went from Fred Meyer's West to Walmart all the way to Chena Ridge. If anybody's given him rides to from Fred Meyer's to Walmart or from Walmart back over to the west side to the Chena Ridge area, can you let us know? Because somehow he made it those distances, and we want to talk to those people and see what his intentions were when they were giving him rides.
Captain asked Fairbanks residents to look around their properties for Atla.
Definitely up on the Chena Ridge area to check their sheds, check their abandoned vehicles. We're worried that maybe he might have done something to himself.
Captain says Atla was last seen wearing a red shirt. An active search effort for Jerry Atla continues, and Captain says volunteers and donations are needed. Searchers are meeting to organize this afternoon at 1 at the family home at 2211 Rickert Street. The Copper River dipnet fishery will open to a weak sockeye return. The popular personal-use fishery's first opener is Saturday, but the number of reds entering the Copper River continues to run well short of projection.
Right now we're just under half of where we expect to be on the sonar.
State Department of Fish and Game Glen Allen area biologist Mark Somerville notes that the run is about a week late, but at the current trajectory will come in at or below a 375,000 fish minimum escapement target.
Early here to push a panic button or go doom and gloom, but we're definitely looking at a weaker run than anticipated.
Somerville says the situation has resulted in limited commercial openings on the Copper River Delta and will likely be followed by reductions for upriver dipnetters and sport fishers.
Once we figure out if we're going to be above or below the escapement goal, if we feel we're going to be below, then we're going to have to probably close fisheries.
Somerville says it's unclear why the sockeye run is weak, but biologists suspect adverse ocean conditions.
Because the fish are also running small for their age.
Somerville notes that the Copper River's proportionally far smaller King return is actually coming back stronger than anticipated. The Fairbanks Rescue Mission is helping clients get back on their feet more quickly with a tough love plan that requires them to take steps toward independent living. Alaska Public Media's Solutions Desk reporter Ann Hillman has more.
When Linda Baker moved from Minto to Fairbanks a few months ago, she didn't expect to end up in a homeless shelter. Who does?
Well, things just kind of fell apart. We were going to come up here, me and my son, to work, and just life got in the way.
Their housing fell through. Their car broke down. She landed at the Fairbanks Rescue Mission, a sober facility that offers emergency housing, food, and showers. It's a nice place. People chat companionably in clean, well-lit rooms. They have warm beds and hot coffee.
And it's safe here. It is really safe.
For Linda and for hundreds of others over the years, being at the mission felt great, which is part of the problem. Some people would come to the mission and never leave. So a couple of years ago, the staff, many of whom had been homeless themselves, started complaining.
Everyone was just kind of like, I don't want to come here every day and see people like regressing or stuck.
Brenda McFarlane is the mission's transitional program coordinator. She said morale among staff was down. People could stay there indefinitely, so some never made plans to leave. They worked in the summer, spent the winters at the mission. The staff decided that if they really wanted to help people move on and find stability, the clients needed deadlines, structure, and more support. A new program was born. Rodney Gaskins, the executive director, says now when people enter the rescue mission, they're given a clear message.
Your stay at the rescue mission is temporary. Our goal is to add value to you and send you back into the community.
They created the 30-60-90 program. Within the first 30 days of the program, people have to complete four tasks: register with a statewide job search tool, apply for public assistance, apply for public housing, and get a tuberculosis test. The next step lasts 60 days. Case managers help participants look for jobs and stay healthy. Rodney says they hold people to high standards and provide guidance to help them accomplish tasks on their own. When someone is struggling, he and Brenda tag team the motivational talks. Together, they try to get people to the last 90 days when participants work on saving money and transitioning into permanent housing. They also take classes on how to be a good renter and how to handle grief, anger, and trauma. Along the way, participants come together for weekly meetings to talk about upcoming community events, share advice on job hunting, and discuss challenges such as transportation for people working the night shift. People who didn't participate in the 30-60-90 program or other shelter programs were asked to leave the shelter once they hit their 30-day per year limit. Linda's only been at the shelter a few weeks, and she says having to complete a set of tasks gave her the structure she needed when she felt lost.
Because, you know, like, I never would have thought of having a deadline to go to Alaska Housing, go to the job service, because you kind of lose yourself, kind of drown in yourself.
Now she's looking for jobs in kitchens and trying to learn computer skills so she can find less physical work as she ages. She says people at the mission remind her that she does have the strength to stand on her own and move on, one little step at a time. In Fairbanks, I'm Ann Hillman.
And I'm Dan Bross.